Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is happening, gang? We are jacked about today's episode of the Inside Football Podcast, Bill Polian. In today's episode, we dive deep into the NFC East. This is truly a fun one for me as we get Bill's breakdown of all of the offseason transactions in the NFC East. We go through the free agents the teams have signed, who they've relinquished, who they've traded for, who's retired, and then we get Bill's exclusive breakdown on the draft. This truly is an unbelievable opportunity to get Bill's thoughts on how the NFC East will shake out. This is one of the divisions where we've seen a lot of change and a lot of turnover, and I think this is going to be a division, while it's going to be tight, this is not going to be the least division in the NFL. You're definitely going to win this with a winning record, so sit back and relax and get ready. But before we do, we want to take a minute to give a word from one of our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is truly the leader in your online betting. It's fast, and it's the easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets. And best of all, it's free to sign up. And hey, BetOnline has some unbelievable NBA futures odds. We bumped the Lakers championship odds from plus 300 on Monday to plus 400 today. Following the ankle injuries to LeBron James and Anthony Davis, despite their recent slide, the Lakers still have the second best title odds, only trailing the Nets. So what are you waiting for? Head over to BetOnline and either go to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% off your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So what are you waiting for? Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to sign up. All right, gang, get ready for it. This is our breakdown of the NFC East offseason. This is the Inside Football Podcast with Bill Polian, and here we go. All right, we are live on the Inside Football Podcast. Some of us have been traveling this week. My level of excitement for something so inane as schedule release day is way higher than it should be, and we're doing the NFC East. So if I drop dead during this podcast record, I apologize. I am way, way too excited. How are you guys doing?
Compared to you, I guess I'm not doing so well with how jacked up you are, but I thought I was okay.
Well, schedule release day, even when I was a general manager, never really got my juices flowing. You just know who you're supposed to play. You already know that. The only question today is when and where. And the first thing you look at when you get to schedule as a GM is when is the bye week.
Right.
And then the second thing you do is when is your biggest rival in conference. And then after that, it's just business as usual.
Right. Well, I feel like the league, based on the leak schedule I saw this morning, is going to test your Colts heartstrings week one, as it'll be the football team versus the Chargers, and Telesco and Apollyon will be up against each other week one.
Yeah, it will be. That's rough.
You have to root for the football team that week, Bill.
Yeah, well, blood's thicker than water, but
exactly.
But Tommy's close. He's family.
In the Bob Sanders category.
But. Yep, for sure.
All right, Rick, get us into it.
All right, as you know, last week we did the AFC East. We're doing the NFC East today, so we start off with the Washington football team. Let me recap their season for you a little bit statistically. They, in terms of points per game, They ranked 25th in the league, averaging 21.1 points per game. In combined yards per play, they were 31st, 4.9. Passing yardage, they ranked 30th at 5.8 per attempt. Rushing yards, was they were 28th at 4.0. They gave up 3.1 sacks per game, which tied them with the Giants for 28th. Defense was a little bit different, though. In terms of points allowed per game, they ranked 6th at 21.2. Their combined yards per game, they ranked 5th, 316.5. Passing yards, they were 3rd in a tie with 6.0. Their rushing dropped a little. They were tied for 11th at 4.3. And they were tied for 5th in sacks at 2.9. So, in terms of how that works out, their combined point differential, they ranked 14th at 0.1, and they were tied with the Cowboys at for 22nd in turnover margin at minus 0.2. But some bright spots in there with the defense. I don't know what you and Scott, were you surprised by any of that?
No, I mean, I think it's exactly what we thought, but I'm now very excited to hear, because I think it's a story of a better team. What did they do this offseason, Bill?
Well, excuse me, they had a busy offseason. The guys that left, Ronald Darby, they felt they replaced him, that they upgraded the position. Kevin Pierre-Louis, they're kind of agnostic about. He was 30 years old, so... they weren't going to re-sign him anyway. Sprinkle, Fabian Moreau, Ryan Anderson, and Robert Foster are all guys who, were not major contributors. So they didn't lose much in free agency. The players they added were interesting. Of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who will be the quarterback, and he brings Fitzmagic, and he brings Fitzagita, because he throws interceptions at the worst possible time. But I mean, that's him. He's going to be exciting. Lamar Miller comes in as a running back. He's kind of a poor man's version of the starter because he's smaller, but he can get the job done. DeAndre Carter comes in as a kick returner. Adam Humphries, a good solid receiver. Curtis Samuel was the big signing, $34.5 million early in free agency. He will be a factor in the passing game. Brandon Scherff received the franchise tag. David Sharp re-signed with Washington. Tyler Larson, David Mayo. And the other big signing was William Jackson III. He signed a 3-year, $40.5 million deal from Cincinnati, former number one draft choice. They felt like they upgraded over Darby with that signing. And then Danny Johnson, Darrell Rogers, and Dustin Hopkins were all guys that, figured to be squad guys but aren't difference makers. You go to the draft. Jamin Davis, their number one pick from Kentucky, good solid player, good solid pick there. Sam Cosmi, offensive tackle from Texas, again sat right there, good solid pick at 51. Benjamin St. Juste from Minnesota, the corner, he can be a safety or a corner. It'll be interesting to see where he works out. I think he'll get on the field.
Very long.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Dyami Brown, the wide receiver I really like from North Carolina, he's something they did not have because he really can blow the top off the defense. And like some of these other guys who blow the top off defenses, he can catch the ball. He averaged 20.0 yards of reception at North Carolina. And then the rest of their guys, Bates, Forrest, Cameron Chessman, Will Bradley, King, Shaka Toney, who I know you were thrilled to...
I was pretty excited.
...to see them draft from Penn State. And Dax Milne, Wilson's running mate at Brigham Young, are all guys who have a chance to make the team. Toney, I think, will be a surprise because he does have rush ability. He doesn't have numbers, but he's got rush ability. And so I thought this was a really good draft. Thomas Davis retired. He came in with Ron Rivera. Alex Smith, of course, retired, and Donald Penn retired. So if you look at the roster, Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback, Antonio Gibson at running back. I'd like to see a really good number two. I don't think Lamar Miller is that. I think he's a 2.5, closer to a 3 than a 2. I'd like to see a guy who you could count on to get 4 yards a carry to go along with Gibson. And maybe that guy's there. We'll find out.
Well, and with all the running backs in Philadelphia that we'll get to after this week, maybe one drives down 95.
It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. Terry McLaurin, outstanding wide receiver. Curtis Samuel adds to that mix. Adam Humphrey adds to that mix. Logan Thomas is in the correct position at tight end. That's where he should have been all along, instead of at quarterback, where they tried to the draft gurus try to make him a quarterback when he was at Virginia Tech. He's in the right position now, and he's a really good one. Garen Christian at left tackle, Wes Weisher left guard, Chase Rullier at center, Scherf back at right guard, and Morgan Moses at right tackle. Pretty good offensive line. They need to protect a little bit better. But Fitz is a little more mobile than the guys they've had, so that may help some. But this is an offense, if they can get a solid second running back who can carry the load, not just be a third down guy, along with Gibson, this is an offense that will improve greatly because the receiving core is improved greatly, and Fitz will do what Fitz does. He's gonna be exciting. He's gonna win some games that he shouldn't. He's gonna lose some games that he shouldn't either. So
right.
I think it'll be pretty exciting year on offense.
But for somebody that wants to throw the ball down the field, the combo of McLaurin, Samuels, and if Brown is what we think he is, this could be pretty fun with Fitzy for a couple weeks.
Oh yeah, sure, absolutely it will. I mean, the receiving core is mightily improved. So, and Sims, we didn't mention Sims, who was coming on at the end of the year, and of course the backup quarterback, I really kind of like Heinicke. He showed a lot of courage and a lot of fight and a lot of guts in the playoff game last year. So that he did well on the biggest stage, where Kyle Allen has not during his time in Carolina. Plus, he's bitten by the injury bug.
What's the curse of the football team leg breaks?
Yeah. Okay. On defense, Chase Young is as good as it gets. The sky's the limit for him. Jonathan Allen and Darren Payne are two really good inside tackles. And Jack Del Rio's defense, they really get the job done. Montez Sweat has come into his own as an outside rusher. I think there's some backup guys that are probably going to have to win jobs, because you're not going to go very far with just rushing four. You got to have 6 to 7 guys that you can rotate in there. So keep an eye on that. The rotator inside is Matt Ioannidis, who's outstanding. He comes in the nickel situations and replaces one of the big guys, principally Payne. But he's a talented player, and there was talk, of course, of trading him for quarterback in the offseason. But somebody else has to emerge outside. I'm hoping it's Shaka Tony. I think he's got the capacity to do that. At weak linebacker, Davis is right in there. Let him go. Bostic, is in a fight with David Mayo for that job. We'll see who emerges at middle linebacker. Cole Holcomb is a pretty solid, strong linebacker. And in the secondary, Kendall Fuller, Landon Collins, Rakeem Curl, and William Jackson provide a pretty good group there. That's been improving as time has gone by. And we'll see if St. Juice can add to that. This is a group that needs I think, one more difference maker. And if they get that, then on the back end, then this is a defense that can be one of the best in the National Football League. They're relying on the front right now too much, which is understandable. I mean, with the talent they have, but you got to make plays on the back end. So I'd like to Jackson, I think, can emerge as a playmaker back there. If he does, look out. They're in pretty good shape. Tressway is an outstanding punter. Dustin Hopkins is a good, solid place kicker. DeAndre Carter, good, solid return man, along with Antonio Gibson. Again, I'd like to see him not have to be involved in special teams at all if he's going to be the number one back. But that's just a minor issue. As you say, that's for the cut to 53. You can find that depth at the cut to 53. So this is a team that will be in the hunt. They're probably going to go as far as the defense and Fitz can take them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. And then where the Washington football team wins best, the offseason of 2022 could be fun in the quarterback market.
Well, that's right. The quarterback of the future is out there somewhere. Ron has said, and I agree with completely, and Marty Herney has said, they're building a football team right now, and whoever the quarterback is going to inherit a pretty damn good football team.
I mean, if you were a veteran quarterback, this might be one of the top three rosters you'd want to go play for, right?
Indeed, you might. That's right. And a player's coach, a guy that, you know, knows how to win in the National Football League, this is a pretty good destination for a veteran quarterback.
Yep. Before we move on, I'll just follow up on one comment Bill made, just to put this out there in the universe. Very interesting finding guys who were not quite good enough to be NFL quarterbacks might make it as tight ends. I don't know why, what made me think of that, but I'm just saying that. So
you had to bring it up, didn't you?
I did. I'm sorry.
You couldn't let a show pass. It's written in the Constitution, right?
Yeah, it is.
When Tim Tebow decides to do something, we have to cover it, right?
Yes. We have to cover it.
All right, we did. We made our obligatory coverage of it. Let's move on.
Oh, get ready. Next week, the Twitter questions are fast and furious on that topic.
We're moving on. Okay, so we're going north up to the Giants, and here's the story on the Giants from last year. On offense, they were ranked 31st in points per game, averaging 17.5 points per game. In combined yards, they were tied for 28th with the Eagles at 5.0 per play combined. In passing yardage, they were ranked 28th at 5.9. Rush yards, they were tied for 13th, 4.4. And in terms of sacks allowed, they were tied for 28th with the Redskins at allowing 3.1. I should have said Washington football team, my obligatory mention of the thing I can't mention. Okay, on the defensive side of the ball, in terms of points allowed per game, they were ranked 9th. At 22.3 in terms of combined yards, their ranking came in at 12, which that was 349.3 yards per game. In passing, they were tied for 12th, giving up 6.6 per pass. Rushing yards, they were tied for 8th at 4.1. In sacks per game given that they recorded, they were tied for 12th at 2.5. When you put it together, the point differential, they were ranked 24th with minus 4.8. And the turnover margin came out at 17th, and that was zero.
Okay, the players that they lost, with a couple of exceptions, don't amount to much. Kevin Zeitler went to Baltimore as a free agent for a three-year deal at 22.5. You know, that's a guard. You're not going to pay him that kind of money, and he's on the back end of his career anyway, so understandable if they let him go. Dalvin Tomlinson, I think they're going to miss. He got two at 21 with 10 guaranteed from Minnesota, but they're in pretty good shape there. Kyler Fackrell is a solid rush linebacker who went to the Chargers. Good pickup. He only got $1.5 million guaranteed, but he was a backup with the Giants anyway. Colt McCoy, has been around forever and will continue to be around forever. So, you know, that's not much of a loss. Wayne Gallman's a guy that went to San Francisco. He's perfect for that style. If he doesn't make it, the Washington football team should have their eyes on him.
Right.
He would be an excellent number two. I think he'll make it with San Francisco, however. And David Mayo, we mentioned, left to go to Washington for a minimal contract. The signings were the important ones. Mike Glennon, been around forever, will be around forever, can take snaps, smart guy, helpful in the quarterback room. If he's got to play more than three games, you're in trouble. But, pretty solid veteran quarterback who can finish a game for you. He can finish a game. Can't win, but he can finish a game for you at any time. Devontae Booker, interesting signing. 2 years, $6 million deal. Upgrade over Gallman and can carry the mail. That's a solid backup. Kenny Golladay, 4 year deal, $72 million, 40 guaranteed. He is a power receiver. He's not a speed guy. He's a power guy, but he catches the ball, runs good routes, does all the things you want a receiver to do, and he's very, very reliable. John Ross signed a 1 year deal for $2.5 million, including $1 million guaranteed, which speaks to the fact that he hasn't been on the field almost for his entire career. He's one of those guys who can take the top off the defense. I say this markedly tongue in cheek. That phrase disgusts me, actually. and we don't know if he can catch the ball because he's never been in a game to do it.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
Not only do we can we be assured he can catch. He can take the top off the defense. That's all we know. Whether he can be out there to do it on game day remains to be seen. Kyle Rudolph is a nice signing, 2 year, $12 million deal. Complete tight end, blocks, catches, smart, high character, great work ethic. The incumbent tight end is not a tight end. He's really a slot receiver. He's a big slot. So this fills a need that they had. Zach Fulton, Ryan Anderson, defensive end, 3-4 defensive end, backup. Odenigo, a defense, 3-4 defensive end backup. And Leonard Williams, who received the franchise tag, did a long-term deal. And he is a really solid player who's big. He's a big run stopper, but he can also rush the passer. He can push the pocket. So with some slipperiness and some talent. So that's a really good signing. Danny Shelton is a 1 year take up space, fall down, create a pile, first down nose tackle. And there's value there. Reggie Ragland is, he's in the back of that pile and he'll make the tackle once Shelton creates it. But he can't run very well. And, he's a power inside linebacker. Those two guys are. That's a power 3-4 first down nose tackle and a power 3-4 first down inside linebacker. And they came at reasonably good prices, too. So good signings. Dory Jackson, three-year, $39 million deal, $16 million guaranteed. This is an interesting signing. I happen to be an Dory Jackson fan, but if you brought this up in Tennessee, in Nashville, Tennessee,
right.
they would arrest you and deport you, along
yes.
with the Dory Jackson. They were happy to see him go.
They would deport you to Kentucky.
he was public enemy number one. I think he's got some talent. I think he's got a nose for the football. He's not a great tackler. When he gets banged up a little bit because he's a little on the small side. But I do think in a defense like this that combines a lot of man and zone, this is essentially an offshoot of the Patriots defense. I think he's a pretty good player. We'll see. This is going to be his last chance. Now he got he got a lot of money to go to the Last Chance Saloon.
This is a good last chance. I mean, this is I'll take that last chance.
Yeah. Turning to the draft, Kadarius Toney was a really good pickup. He's a complete receiver who runs after the catch, maybe as well as C.D. Lamb. So that's sort of, you know, he's the Giants' version of that intercontinental missile who can catch the ball and take it all away. Really good. Azeez Ojulari, outstanding, natural speed off the corner pass rusher. And he'll be a good addition. He'll be on the field on third down for sure. Going to take him about a half a season to get adjusted, but then he'll be really good.
Well, and also to move back and get both of these players, Dave must be changing up the draft style. This is the first time he's traded back to walk out of this draft with picks and these two guys.
He had the opportunity, and when you go back, you have to have guys that back there that you want, and he found them. He's not a proponent of trading back willy nilly. There's more and more heresy about the draft is surfacing every day. I don't know if we'll have time on this show, but at some point in time, I'm going to have to address the heresy of value for the pick, which is like measles. It's an epidemic that comes back about every 20 years, you know, where you have to take out a big hammer and beat it down and make it go away. But that's out there again. And then the Wharton School trade back is out there again.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I wish the people at Wharton would find better things to do than mess with the draft. You know, it's just find a way to create, you know, to figure out how the pipeline can't be hacked. You know, something that'll make a difference in our lives.
Something that gets gas to the Polian household.
Yes, yes. Aaron Robinson is really a good pickup. He's a solid Alabama corner, so you know he's going to do everything right. His techniques are going to be good, and he'll make what plays he has to make. He's not blessed with, you know, all the talent of Surtain, but he's nevertheless a good, solid guy. Ellison Smith is a project from Northern Iowa. Outside linebacker. It's going to take him a while, but I think he's got a future. I really like Gary Brightwell from Arizona. I don't quite know where he fits because he's kind of a tweener, you know, a little guy, but he can really shake and bake. So we'll see. I mean, keep an eye on him in the preseason. Players that left were Antoine Bethea. Congratulations to him. Phenomenal career. I was fortunate enough to be with him for 11 of the many years that he played in the National Football League. He started from day one of his first minicamp with the Colts and was a phenomenal player for us. And the well-traveled Alex Tanney retired. The Giants depth chart is highlighted, of course, by the one and only Saquon Barkley, who's back. So now that gives the offensive line an opportunity to block for somebody that can pick up, you know, when they block four, he'll get eight. When they block eight, he'll get 12 or 15. And so they now have the big play, explosive play package in their run game. Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph, as I said, is going to be a true tight end. That's a pretty good group. And Ingram, this is the year for him. Now that he's absolved of all tight end duties,
right?
He's gotten like a presidential pardon. You never have to block again. You know, he won't put you in there and ask you to block a defensive end or even a linebacker. But damn it, you better catch every ball and you better stay on the field.
Right.
Yeah.
And Slayton, I think Slayton is undervalued. He's a really good player. And Galladay is going to add a lot. And Tony will add a lot. So that's a really good group. And if Ross miraculously can stay on the field, then now you got something special going. in the offensive line. Nate Solder comes back, backed up by Andrew Thomas and Mike Peart. Let's see between the three who can become a real tackle. You know, it's like Pinocchio. Can you become a real boy?
Right, that's right.
Thomas and Peart, you know, have to. One of them has to become a real boy.
Yeah.
Because Nate's not going to play forever, and he's kind of he's on the back nine right now, but he'll do okay for a year, I think. But after that, somebody's got to step in. Shane Lemieux at left guard was a pretty good find. Nick Gates at center did a nice job. Zach Fulton steps in at right guard. Will Hernandez is and Kenny Wiggins will be fighting for room there. And Peart's, as I said, is penciled in as the right tackle. So we'll see what happens. I mean, these tackles have to grow up and become real tackles. If they can, then now the onus flips to Daniel Jones, who now has weapons. And if you can protect him, now we'll find out what he can do as a quarterback. But
if they get competent tackle play, this should be a pretty dangerous offense.
You would think. If Daniel Jones can play well, you would think it would be, yes.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Bill. You know, it's been a very difficult situation for him. But just based on what you've seen in terms of, you know, to date, what is your take on Daniel Jones? Will he, now that he has a better supporting cast, will he be able to move up and become a solid starter, if not a star, in the league?
Well, we'll find out. You know, he's at a crossroads. He's
right.
He now has weapons. He's got, I think, a semblance of protection. And we'll find out. We'll find out what he can do, you know?
I was just looking for you to give us a little foreshadowing, but you're right. I mean, the proof will be in the proverbial pudding.
Yeah. Defensively, as I said, this is a New England 3-4, so Dexter Lawrence is left defensive end. As I said, Danny Shelton will play nose tackle. Leonard Williams will play right defensive end. Shelton will come out of the game in everything but largely first down. Lorenzo Carter at weak linebacker is coming off an injury, but you know, not a bad player. Reggie Ragland, as I said, is a first down inside linebacker. Blake Martinez is a really solid, you know, run and hit, smart inside linebacker. And Ojulari is right in there at strong linebacker. Get in there and go. Now he's going to have some difficulty against the run. Other than that, I think he'll be fine. Bradbury and Dory Jackson will be the corners. Jabril Peppers and Logan Ryan are the safeties. Julian Love is the nickel back, and Xavier McKinney and Isaac Yadam provide pretty good backup help at safety. So, you know, two good corners. I think Dory Jackson will play well. The biggest question is, you know, can Logan Ryan's back there to get everybody lined up and make all the calls? Can he make the plays? To me, that's the biggest question. And how long will it take for Ojulari to get his feet on the ground? That's all.
With our luck, it'll be week one. He will be Lawrence Taylor revisited. I'm already, when I was watching the draft, all I kept thinking is, this is one of Bill's sons. This is one of Bill's sons. He's slipping. I was like, don't go to the Giants. Don't go to the Giants. And, of course, he goes to the Giants.
So, you know, we'll see. This is a defense that I would say overachieved last year. And they added some pretty good parts, I think. So they'll be solid. The question is, will the offense score enough points? And they certainly have the weaponry to do so. And with Saquon back, they have an ability to control games that you know, they did not have last year. So this is a completely different team offensively and defensively. You hope that the additions allow them to improve some.
So Bill, with your GM hat on, in terms of looking at the rosters of the football team and the Giants, which roster do you like better?
I think they're about even. The difference is Saquon.
Right.
The football team doesn't have Saquon. And despite all the weeping and wailing from the gurus, those first-round running backs are better than the 15th running back in the draft.
Right.
That's a fact.
Yeah. I think we've learned that.
Yeah, we've learned that over time. Check the guys who have gold jackets, and they're difference makers. So they have a difference maker on offense that the football team doesn't.
Right. Who has played amazingly well against the football team as well.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And quarterbacks at the opposite ends of their careers.
So. Yeah, the Giants are the roster that scares me the most in the division.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
What is up, gang? Before we dive into our look at the NFC East, we wanted to take a minute and hear from one of our sponsors, Podcorn. Podcorn, as we've talked about innumerable times on the show, is truly the top place for podcast advertising, both from the podcaster side and the advertiser side. I wear both hats in this game, running my own business and also as a podcaster. And there's no better way for you as a business owner to get the word out about your brand than Podcorn. But then if you're a podcast and you're like, how do I monetize this show? We, much like every show that uses Podcorn, have fallen in love with the platform. It's super simple and easy to use. It's so easy, even Rick can do it. So we wanted to thank Podcorn for sponsoring today's episode. So what are you waiting for? Head over to podcorn.com and sign up today. Whether you're a business looking to advertise your brand on a whole slew of dynamic podcasts like this one, or if you're a podcaster looking to monetize your show, look no further than Podcorn. Head over today, www.podcorn.com.
So is that my cue to go into the Cowboys?
That's your segue.
Okay. Good job. Good job. So let's talk about the boys. Offensively, they ranked 17th last year in points per game. They averaged 24.7. In terms of combined yards, they were 21st, and that was at 5.3. In passing, they were 23rd at 6.5 per pass. Their rush yards put them at ranking 22nd. At 4.1, not good. The sacks allowed per game, they were tied for 25th at 2.8. On defense, they all ranked 28th in terms of points allowed, which they gave up 29.6 per game. In terms of combined yards, they were 23rd. They gave up 386.4. Their passing yards allowed, they're tied for 21st at 7.1. In terms of rushing yards allowed, they were 30th, 5.0. and sacks, they were ranked 20th. They tied at 1.9 they gave up. We put that all together, their point differential put them 25th out of 32 with minus 4.9. And their turnover tied them for 22nd. They were at minus 0.2. So not really, unlike some of these other things we've looked at, neither side of the ball looking very good to me. Bill?
Well, the offensive side, you know, last year was because of the loss of Dak.
Right.
And the injuries on the offensive line, was kind of a one-off. The defense was abysmal. The statistics don't do it justice. It turned your stomach. I mean, they were just, I don't know how Jerry could watch it every week or Steven or anybody else associated with it. It was tough. They try, and that's not a knock on the coordinator. They tried to play a defense that for which they didn't have the personnel. And that's what happens when you do that. As the season wore on, they recognized that they had to come back. They got to change things, and they got a little bit better. But it was a lost season. In terms of the people that they relinquished, Jadobe Awuzie, who's a cover two corner. Interestingly, I was wondering whether he fit with Dan Quinn's Seattle scheme Probably not. But he went to Cincinnati. I don't know how he fits in Cincinnati, to tell you the truth.
That's
had he gone to Indianapolis, I would have said, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does that Cincinnati values on defense, but they gave him $7,250,000. They know more
they
than we do.
That's a lot of money for Mike Brown, Bill, $7.2 million.
Andy Dalton, of course, left, and Cameron Irving got a 2-year deal with $6 million guaranteed from Carolina because they couldn't line up at tackle. but, you know, none of those guys are going to be badly missed. The other guys, Joe Thomas, Alden Smith, Greg Sennett, Hitaki March, are, as we say in the trade, just guys. The one guy, even though he's 30 years old, that I have a soft spot for is the belldozer, Blake Bell. I think he's, first of all, he could make him into a good short yardage and goal line back because he did it in college. He was fun to watch. And I think he's a pretty solid backup tight end. And I know his dad played for us in Kansas City. I know what kind of a person he is. So keep an eye and see. He'll land somewhere. Okay, the additions. Dak Prescott, 4-year deal, $160 million. Who cares how much it is? He's signed and he's there for a long time. That's the important thing. They add Jeremy Sprinkle to replace the belldozer. I'm not so sure I agree with that deal, but that's just me.
He's the greatest tell tight end in the league. You know you're running the ball when he's in the game.
That's exactly right. they added Ty Nischke as a backup tackle. Carlos Watkins as a defensive end. Brent Urban, who is a designated pass rusher, as a defensive end. Both guys will fit pretty well with Coach Quinn's defense. I can see his fingerprints all over these defensive moves, by the way, which is a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yep.
Terrell Basham, Canu Neal, really, really a good player if he can stay healthy. That's a big if. But if he can stay healthy, now he's a bit of a difference maker. C.J. Goodwin, he'll fit. Jordan Lewis will fit. Jayron Kearse at safety. Demonte KZ had a couple of outstanding years with Coach Quinn in Atlanta and got hurt. A little bit on the small side, but you know, pretty dynamic player. Jake McQuaid as a snapper, and Brian Anger, the well-traveled Brian Anger, as a punter. So all in all, a really good free agent year in the sense that Dak is back and they add a lot of depth pieces on the defense who, even if one or two of them can play the way they played in Atlanta, I'm thinking of Neal and KZ, you know, they improved pretty well.
Greatly. Yeah.
Yeah, greatly. All right, the draft. It wouldn't be the Cowboys if they didn't take a chance on a guy who has some baggage. So that's Micah Parsons, but he can play. There's no two ways about it. He can play. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He can play, and he'll probably be the middle linebacker. And so away you go. He's a run and hit guy. He's got instincts. He's pretty smart. He'll be a good player. Kelvin Joseph is a really good corner from Kentucky. He's very much under the guru's radar. I believe he transferred from Alabama, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was a transfer somewhere. But he played for Coach Stoops there. He made him into a really solid corner. And Cowboy fans are going to like him, and he can do the things that Coach Quinn wants him to do. Osa Odighizawa is a rush offensive tackle, which the Cowboys, for the last, who is the kid from Air Force? Chad Hennings. Since they haven't had one since Chad Hennings in Super Bowl 27.
Right. It's been a minute.
The Super Bowl 27.
So he's a legitimate rush offensive tackle. It's going to take him a while because he's coming out of the Pac-12, and that's a different game entirely from the NFL. It's like the Big 12. You know, that's different football. But I think he's going to be pretty good. Golston is a non-speed, but all work, toughness, tough as nails, defensive end from Iowa. First of all, he's from Iowa, so right. Put the Kirk Ferentz stamp of approval on him. He's take him right off the shelf. He's ready to play. And secondly, this guy is a tough as nails guy. You really like him. Nation Wright, long corner from Oregon State. Jabril Cox, a linebacker from Louisiana State, who flashes a lot. I wouldn't be surprised to see him challenge for a job. I don't know, very honestly, Josh Ball from Marshall's. The guy that I'm kind of excited about is Simi Fehoko from Stanford. He's a big, long receiver who can run, and he's going to be an interesting guy. He's one of those guys that, you know, he might step in there and win a job before anything happens, before you know what happened. And Quentin Bohanna and Israel Mukamu are, you know, sound, solid college football players who will have a chance to make the team as backups. And an interesting scouting situation. Kelvin Joseph was number two, and the number one corner that they were looking for and looking at was from South Carolina. So you see two guys who jumped off the film who got drafted in the sixth round.
Exactly.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
And those guys usually turn out to be quite good, by the way. You know, they're good additions. Sean Lee, unfortunately, retired. Great career. Credit to Penn State.
Penn State to Penn State.
Yep. Been a really good Dallas Cowboy over the years. Had to retire because of the neck injuries. Tyrone Crawford retired as well. Let's get to the depth chart. And here's where it gets interesting. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, C.D. Lamb, Blake Jarwin. Backing them up, Tony Pollard, Cedric Wilson, Simi Fehoko, Noah Brown, and Dalton Schultz, with Jeremy Sprinkle brought in there with his lunch pail to go and block.
Yeah.
That is a pretty stellar group and a pretty salty group. And it's got backups who can win in the league. So look out for this offense.
Right.
Here's the linchpin.
Here's the trouble.
Yeah, here's the trouble. Tyron Smith's got to be Tyron Smith. Connor Williams or Connor McGovern has to grow up and become a real boy, right, as we said with the Giants guys, right? Tyler Bledis, I think, is fine at center. Zach Martin's got to stay healthy. He's still got good time in him. And Lyle Collins is at right tackle. And they got to figure out a way to help him in passing situations. It's that simple. Because if you leave him out on an island against good rushers, he can't handle them. But that's been the case from day one. So they have to be able to help him. Coach McCarthy will figure that out. This is a frightening offense because it's got playmakers at every level. Zeke, let's start with Dak. Dak, Zeke, Amari Cooper, C.D. Lamb, Blake Jarwin, Tony Pollard, you can win with. Cedric Wilson, you can win with. I like Fehoko. I think you're going to like what you see of him. So the answer is, if the offensive line can play well, this team is going to put up a lot of points. Defensively, Dan Quinn takes over, brings in a lot of personnel that is familiar with the defense and can play it well. DeMarcus Lawrence Neville Gallimore, by the way, interestingly enough, Odighizawa will back him up. I misspoke because Neville Gallimore is the first genuine rush tackle they've had in a long time. He's pretty good. I forgot about him. Tristan Hill coming off an injury, pretty good player. Randy Gregory's been around forever. If he can avoid suspension, one of these years he might have a phenomenal year. Chauncey Golston plays behind him. That's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but in virtually every respect. But a good, really solid backup. Odighizawa, I think, provides good backup help there. So that's six guys there that you say, okay, pretty good.
Not bad.
You know, who's the seventh guy going to be? You can almost manufacture him. Weak linebacker, Jaylon Smith from Notre Dame. Middle linebacker, Von Der Esch. Strong linebacker, they've got Parsons there. I got a feeling that there'll be a lot of nickel, and Von Der Esch may not be on the field a lot. They're listing Kanu Neal as a weak linebacker. He can play a lot of places. Jabril Cox will be, a really good backup. And Basham, I think, will be a really good backup. So that's six guys at that position that you say, okay, we can win a game with any of these six guys in the game. Obviously, Jaylon Smith is the big playmaker, and look out for him to have an all-pro year in this defense. He'll be Bobby Wagner in this defense.
And Micah could be a scary KJ Wright.
He could. Yes, he could. Trayvon Diggs, solid corner. Anthony Brown, solid corner. KZ will be back there at free safety, getting them lined up. Donovan Wilson at strong safety. Some people are going to have to emerge. Jordan Lewis, I think, will be one of them. Kelvin Joseph will be another. They're going to have depth corners emerge, but I think that will happen. So two good things about this defense. A, they added playmakers. B, they have the style of player, the type of player to play this defense. So that's the first time in a long time they've done it. And this is the first time since Rod Marinelli became the coordinator by himself, which was pretty close to about 8 or 9 years ago, where the defense will be coordinated by one guy with a vision to how to use all these players.
Right.
So there's going to be a dynamic change on defense for this team, only because they'll know what to do and everybody will be on the same page, which hasn't been the case for quite a while with the Cowboys. So, Zuerlein is the place kicker, Anger's the punter. C.D. Lamb can return punts. Tony Pollard can return kickoffs. What more do you want?
Couple things in the secondary, maybe.
Yeah, and it may be the young kids may surprise you there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If the secondary plays, this is probably the best team in the division, right?
Without question, because they can outscore you big time.
Right.
All the offensive line has to do is not fall on their faces. With the talent that they have, just get in the way. Just do a decent enough job to keep the quarterback upright, and you're going to find yourself with 27 to 30 points a game. So this is really a good team. This is a good team.
With the defense, with the players now fitting the scheme, and you put up those points, I got to agree. I mean, things are looking up for the Jones boys. Last, but least.
Let's go to shock and confusion.
Exactly. I think it's ironic that the kind of season they had last year. Bill, you remember in the old stadium, the Eagles actually had that courtroom?
Because yes.
I don't think they do anymore, but, they certainly could have used it last.
This would not be a season you'd want to sit in the 700 club in the vet.
Yeah, no, you would not. All right, so here's how it looked on paper when you in the rearview mirror, to mix a metaphor. All right, points per game, they were 26. They averaged just under 21 points a game. Their combined yards per play, they were tied with the Giants at 28th, 5.0. Their passing game put them 32nd in the league out of 32 at 5.6 average. Their rush game wasn't that bad. It was good. They ranked third with 5.0. In terms of sacks given up, they were also the worst at 4.1 a game. In terms of their defense, they ranked 20th in terms of points allowed, 26.1. Combined yards allowed, they were 18th at 363. Combined passing yards allowed per pass, they were tied for 23rd, 7.2. Rushing yards allowed, they ranked 10th at 4.2. They recorded 3.1 sacks per game. In terms of putting offense and defense together, the point differential, they ranked 27th, which was minus 5.2, and their turnover margin put them 29th in the league at minus 0.6.
Okay, the guys that left, Jalen Mills got big dollars from New England. I don't think he really ever played up to the hype, if you will, with Philadelphia. Good, but pardon me, and excuse me, listeners, I don't have a cough button, so you'll have to excuse me for that. Cameron Johnston, punter, you know, decent punter, went to Houston for $3 million guaranteed. He'll get a lot of work in Houston, that's for sure. DeSean Jackson, you know, hail and farewell. Off to the Raiders. Jonathan Ford went to Jacksonville. Malik Jackson and Vinnie Curry, two highly decorated and very productive older guys, have come to the end of the line. Malik went to Cleveland and Vinnie to the Jets, but they were not really factors. And as I say, they're at the end of the line. Duke Riley is I like as an interesting spare part linebacker. He went to Miami, but he's not a starter. So, you know, that didn't, it's not a terrible loss. Nate Sudfeld goes to San Francisco.
Who we'd like to thank in D.C.
Yes. And Nate Jerry also goes to San Francisco, both backups. Players they added, Joe Flacco.
Well, and hey, Bill, one more thing. Alshon Jeffrey will likely be released or is going to be released June 1st.
Yeah, no surprise there, of course. He's at the end of the line as well. You know, a wonderful career, but hail and farewell. Why they signed Joe Flacco is beyond me. I mean, unless you're going to sign the polar opposite of the guy who's the starter, which is what Joe Flacco is, I don't know how you craft an offense that works for both. But maybe you know, Nick Sirianni can do it.
Maybe Joe's been running the beaches of Delaware in the offseason, and it's going to be super fast.
Well,
never happened in a million years.
Yeah. Joe Flacco, a great guy, though, with a puncher's chance. But, yeah, I don't get it either.
I mean, I like Joe Flacco. I mean, I'd love him as a backup with the Indianapolis Colts, for example. But I don't know how he fits. How do you fit in an offense with a runaround quarterback? That's not Joe, to say the least. Kerryon Johnson claimed off waivers. Good pickup. I mean, this guy has ability. There's probably a piece missing that I did not see when he was coming out from Auburn, but he's didn't see with Detroit, but this guy's a slam bang runner. They got more running backs than you can shake a stick at. You're right. The football team will be, and others will be snooping around there. There'll be some trades made here because they can't keep all these guys. Hassan Ridgeway, good solid pickup. Eric Wilson, good solid pickup. Andrew Adams stays with the team, and Anthony Harris signs as a safety to replace Jalen Mills. So not a lot of activity in the offseason in free agency, but you didn't expect that. The draft, DeMontis Smith, home run. Number one, he's played with the quarterback before, which is a plus. He's got the same talent DeSean Jackson had in his youth, but probably a steadier guy, if you will. And certainly, even with the 166 pounds, longer than DeSean. Good solid pickup there. Landon Dickerson, really solid player. Yeesh. I don't know how he got past the physical, but that's,
never been healthy.
That's the doctor's call there, you know. If he gives you the okay, take him. Why not? He's a good player. Milton Williams is a solid defensive tackle. He was unknown to the Gurus, but a really pretty solid, hard-bitten, tough defensive tackle. So a good pick there. Zach McPherson, the corner from Texas Tech, seems to be a reasonably good player. I really like Kenneth Gainwell, and he becomes the third down back. I think he'll come in autumn and immediately be the third down back and be a tremendous addition to them. Now, where does he fit in this offense with this quarterback?
I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
I can't wait to see how it works out.
Maybe they're going to have five guys in the backfield and the center just snaps to whoever he wants. And it'll be New Jersey prep school football circa 1998.
Well, I like Kenneth Gainwell. I'll tell you that. This guy, he's a good runner and he's dynamite out of the backfield. And in the fifth round, that was really a great pick. Marlon Tuipulotu, solid defensive tackle from USC. Taron Jackson, he's a work in progress from Coastal Carolina, but he has ability. And Jacoby Stevens, good solid guy from Louisiana State. Patrick Johnson is from Tulane. I do not know him, but I presume as a defensive end, he's got some upside. So I think the draft was, by the standards of what they had to replace and what they got, really pretty good. I think all the way down to Tuipulotu, you can probably pencil all of those guys in. And the question is, does Dickerson stay healthy? If you can get six guys out of a draft to contribute, you've had a hell of a draft. So I think they did. The depth chart, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback, and we'll see what he does. Miles Sanders and Boston Scott are really good running backs. And when they divide up time, both of them a little on the small side, when they divide up time, they're dynamite. Kerryon Johnson is a banger who will take some snaps off them and be able to come in and go mix it up. And as I said, as a third down back, Gainwell is dynamite.
Could Gainwell play receiver a little bit for them?
He might. Yeah, sure. He's played slot at Memphis. So, yes, sure. Yeah.
Right.
He can. Rager, we don't know. I'm rooting for him because his dad played for us in Indianapolis, Monte. Great people. He was as green as grass last year. And the fact that they took him and not Jefferson is not his fault. He just needs time and work. So we'll see. Devonta is the real deal. I don't think there's any question about that. Greg Ward is better than average all-purpose wide receiver. Solid guy.
I was just going to ask you, are you more sanguine about Devonta's size than, because I know when we talked right around draft time, that was a big concern. Are you feeling a little better about that?
Yeah, as long as you leave him outside, I think he'll be fine. The question is, you know, is he going to hold up over 17 games? We'll find out. As Coach Levy used to say, once we've got them, they're ours. Let's make them the best player we can make them. And all of the chatter dies once the pick is made. Now we'll find out what the real scoop is. But
yeah.
I think he's a good enough football player where if you leave him outside and the quarterback can get him the ball, which is a big if,
yep.
You know, you're going to, you know, he's dynamite. You got two guys. He and Rager can run. Now, he's more accomplished than Rager as a route runner and all that stuff.
Exactly. I was going to say he's a great route runner, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
And then Travis Fulgham was actually statistically their best receiver last year. He was working at, you know, TBS or something and came in and became their best receiver. So and that tells you where they were.
Right.
And Arcega Whiteside.
They were trying to do Invincible too.
Yes. Yes. Where's Vince Papale when we need him?
He's now hanging out with Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
Arcega Whiteside. His job is in jeopardy, I think. You know, he was a draft choice that they had high hopes for, but really hasn't panned out. So they improved that position dramatically. It's just that Rager has to develop and Devonta has to stay healthy. Dallas Goedert returns at tight end. Whether Zach Ertz is there or not remains to be seen. I think that's a trade possibility that still exists. Andre Dillard is a draft choice that they're counting on highly. We'll see. Isaac Simalo, you know, pretty decent guard. Kelsey is Kelsey. He's getting up there in age, but he's still a, you know, feisty, solid, you know, bite your kneecap off guy that he's always been.
He's a Dan Campbell guy.
Yes, he is. Brandon Brooks, I like. I think he's a decent guard. I've never been a big Lane Johnson fan, but, you know, he keeps hanging in there. And friends of mine around the league tell me that I'm living in Never Never Land because I always compare him to Will Wolford and Tarik Glenn. And that's a lousy comparison. We're asking too much of him.
Yeah.
As one guy, one of my former colleagues said to me, you're still living in the past. Those guys don't exist anymore. You want everybody to be Jonathan Ogden. And I said, no, only our guys. I don't care who else plays. I want Will Wolford and Jonathan Ogden and Tarik Glenn. That's who I want to tackle.
Right.
But so that this... Just like Dallas, this group has to coalesce and play well. If they do, then now it's on the quarterback. If they don't, the quarterback runs around and has an excuse to, you know, to spray the ball, right, which you don't want. The question with Hurts is he going to be accurate enough as a passer? That is the question. There's a reason that Tua replaced him at Alabama. It's because he was not accurate enough as a passer. And last year, you know, because he runs around and makes spectacular plays, people assume that he can be a winning quarterback. But in two of the games that they lost, he missed open receivers in the end zone that would have won the game. And those are games... You can't do that in the National Football League.
And, Bill, do you think this is a good coach and player fit, too?
I think a lot of Nick. I really do. He was with...
But is this the type of quarterback he would want, you think?
I think he's a good enough coordinator and head coach to say, I will do the things that this guy can do. But... With the rest of the talent here, is it the right fit? I'm not so sure. But we'll find out. And I'm rooting for Jalen. I hope he succeeds. I really do. But, you know, they're not grown up yet, so to speak. But when you're talking about, you know, Sanders and Scott and Johnson and Gainwell, Rager, Smith, Ward, Goddard, those are weapons, man. I mean, those are guys that can make stuff happen. So both in the run game and the passing game.
So if overall, when you look at it, I mean, this could be maybe the most remarkable turnaround for a whole division from year to year we've ever seen. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in this league.
Well, we haven't gotten to the defense of the Eagles yet, which...
All right, go ahead. But, you know, Bill, I'm trying to give, you know, Philadelphia's fans some, you know, a little bit of encouragement. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, Derek Barnett and Javon Hargrave and, you know, the venerable Fletcher Cox, who just keeps rolling along, Brandon Graham. This is the AARP of defensive lines, but they're still good. And Josh Sweat and Hassan Ridgeway, you know, give them, you know, some pretty good backup depth there. Singleton, Wilson, and Shaud Bradley. The Eagles linebackers are always in the witness protection program. You know, yeah. you don't know their names, but they do play well. They do play pretty well as a group. And there's nothing to nothing to really worry about with these guys. Darius Slay, I think, was a great deal for them. They brought in they took advantage of an incompetent regime in Detroit and made a good signing there. Rodney McLeod comes off injury, good solid guy. Anthony Harris, good solid guy. Avante Maddox, Zach McPherson, Kayvon Wallace. I mean, they've got some guys here that are solid pros. Slay is a playmaker. He can do good things. And now, of course, new coordinator for the first time in a long time. So we'll see how that works out. And the special teams with Jake Elliott and Sipos and Greg Ward is a returner, and Boston Scott is a returner. That's a solid group. So, you know, the two questions or three questions with the defense. One, can the old guys hold up over 17 games on the front? Secondly, can they develop enough depth in the secondary to where some playmakers emerge? Those are the two major questions. And then the third one is, can they avoid the injury bug that's bitten them year after year, it seems, on the defensive side of the ball? So if they can do that, I think they have a chance. But the age on the defensive line worries me some.
They just have to end practice in time for them to make the Bluebird special for dinner, that's all.
or the Blue Plate special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Blue Bird one's even earlier, Rick.
Yeah, it is. But you gotta hang on to that money at the end of your career.
So yeah, to Rick's point, NFC East needle definitely moving up. You're probably winning this division next year with a winning record, right?
Yes, the winner will have a winning record. It will be a tough division. It might be a 9-7 or record because they might cannibalize each other because there's some pretty good teams here and improved teams, but I think the Cowboys have way too much firepower and way too much Dan Quinn to get that defense straightened out to be anything but the favorite.
Yeah, I think the league would agree since there'll be the opening night matchup against Tampa Bay.
Well, that has nothing to do with the quality of the team. It has to do with the fact that
good old TV rating.
Dallas is the biggest draw, you know, TV draw. But I do think that for the first time in a long time, the Cowboys hype equals the Cowboys product, or comes close to it anyway.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you have it, gang. That is our show for this week. As always, if you have questions for us or you have things you want us to hit on in the show or in the Audible, hit us up on Twitter at IFBillPolian. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Bet Online. I hear we're headed south next week. Going to a little division you might know a little something about in the AFC South next week, Bill.
Well, we'll see. Let's take a look at it.
And we're not going to ask any quarterback tight end questions. Not one.
No. We got it out of the way. I have to say, when Bill raised the objection to my saying anything, he as the witness opened the door for me, so the judge allowed it the one time.
One time only.
All right, guys. Have a good week. We will see you guys next week. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care, everybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.